So John, the 14th chapter, and then put a marker in Romans, 5th chapter. Hallelujah. Can't even walk out hardly that the Spirit of God doesn't come, and the head of the church wants to prophesy, you know. Because we misunderstood prophecy in the past. We just thought it was the person that jumped up and said, "Yea, thus saith the Lord," or personal prophecies being handed off in the lines. And when he says, "Well, the man that prophesies, let him do it in proportion to the faith that's given to him." We always thought he just kind of knocked us in the head and took us over. But if you can only prophesy in proportion to the faith, then a lot of that prophecy has to do with your knowledge of God, the word you have in you, the mysteries, the revelation. So when the head of the church comes and the more offices you fulfill that you're called to, the more the gifts you operate in, the better that you know God, then the more needs He can meet in a single hour, in a single geographical location. If you're full of mysteries and answers, then the head of the church can come and just about solve any problem. But when he does, then you begin to prophesy and cut away all excuses. And to the lost person, he falls down and says, "Christ is in your midst of a truth." When the secrets of your heart gets matched with revelation knowledge, you get to see yourself in the light that God sees you. Well, you know, at the born-again trail, the next step in the evolution from the walk of the Spirit was beginning to really understand who we were when we were born again. And a lasting revival, I'm convinced of, is impossible without. Longevity would be impossible to attain to without finding out who He is, who you are. So these years we believe for revival, come to find out the day that the born again trail dropped into my spirit was the day he took us the next step closer. Well, he put limb after limb on and corrected some things from the past which were not foundationally off, but the limbs could have been a little bit better. So on the born again trail, you know, revealed who we were in Christ, and the scripture began to open up, and then fasting as in the born again trail, and then worship as in the born again trail, and giving as in the born again trail, our inheritance, and on down the line till finally God is making an attempt to move on me and show me His glory, which is by far the most difficult thing I've ever attempted to understand, and knowing outside of His Spirit would absolutely be impossible. But to just see His glory for just a moment, as in born again trail, is to see Jesus in His glorified humanity, and to see Him in everything that He's been made available to humanity in. Now, I love the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as we discovered early, very, very early, that praying in tongues had to do with understanding mysteries and who Christ is and the plan of God, until finally He condensed it down into a single statement that I've been making ever since, that praying in tongues is a revelation gift. Can you imagine possessing a revelation gift that you can operate at your own will? Can you imagine that? You wonder why the devil fought the baptism of the Holy Spirit like a crazy man, and then once you receive Him, He equally fought your prayer life. Can you understand emerging, understanding the glory of God, or the devastating war machine you had become? God wants cities. He wants cities. So of course He would fight you. But oh, do I love what Jesus said in the 16th chapter about the Holy Spirit. He'll not speak of Himself, but He will glorify Me. Now we want to understand His glory. He said He'll not speak of Himself, but He will glorify Me. Well, how will He do that? Because He said He will take of Mine. He will receive of Mine. This is how He glorifies Me. He'll receive of Mine and show it unto you. This is the whole way the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. By taking what is His and showing it to you so that you can glorify Him. And I just can't get over, after all these years, 27 years of ministry, being saved some 35 or 36 years, you'd think, you know, at 35 years, a guy'd have some kind of retirement from a principal. The 35 years, I just cannot get over how simple He has made it. You can be dumb and going somewhere to prove it, and it works the same. If you don't know how to read, it works the same. May He give us a revelation gift to understand Him by when we're powerless and don't know whether we're going frontwards or backwards. He says, it's okay. I'll take your prayer life over for you. And this is what it'll end up if you can just have somebody tell you or read from the Word where it'll end up. You'll end up understanding My mysteries, and I'll be working My plan in you. I can even give you the gift of reading the way I gave you the gift of tongues. Amen. If you're really hungry. I don't know. My problems, the fight, the wars, they just pale. They get so puny, putrefying, clabber, milky, powerless in His presence. Oh, to see His glory. To see His glory. Just the short little glimpse that I had. I did know this. That child I was standing in front of, 13, 12, every year for 5 years or 6 years, the father and mother had been bringing the child to Palm Springs. And every year I got to stand in front of 12, 13, never spoke. I think that the most the child could do is the gestures. Needing something, wanting something, pain. The father was here in October. It wasn't so long ago. The father was here. And because he came to hear more, after I got that first glimpse of glory and pulled him aside, this bawling. He said, he's in the process of making me accountable. Anyway, he made a trip up here then to hear more about it. But we have to figure something out. It's the church failing. I mean, we're sure big at yelling all about having a covenant in certain areas. Usually, what Jesus was talking about when you say it's Corbin, that which I might profit by. Those are the areas we like to hang around in. We sure yell and scream covenant long, hard hours about that which we would profit by. No. But we don't seem to be too bothered by entering church and leaving church and entering church and leaving church year after year after year and letting that part of our so-called covenant just slip by. But you have to settle it. He either wants to do it or he doesn't. He either has some reason outside of totally redeeming all of those children and giving them the same start out of the gate that you got. Some reason outside of redemption that he's not doing it. We got to find out why he redeemed them and then won't heal them. Why are you making so much noise? He doesn't expect that much out of us. But one thing he does not. He doesn't expect a whole lot, but he doesn't expect us to camp somewhere and let those things and people's needs go unanswered in any area that he's been glorified in. And he said, my glory I give unto you. But to help understand that word glory, for a nerd that's a computer genius, has one sock higher than the other in a big pencil pack. He's a genius. Because he can do anything with the computer. So his glory that he gives to you is that absolute genius when it comes to computers. But Arnold Schwarzenegger's glory is another. It's his body. You know, those bulging muscles and what he's made with his life all centered around. You know what he's done with his body, because that's his glory. You see, Jesus' glory is he is the Son of God, and he came and totally redeemed you. His glory is given to you, a finished redemption work. That was the glory. My glory I give unto you. And he said, the Holy Spirit has come. He says, he's come to glorify me by taking of mine and showing it unto you. He doesn't expect a whole lot out of us, but he does expect us not to let questions go unanswered. Give me my day in court. Don't let me fail because I sat under somebody that didn't have answers. Give me answers and let me decide if I want to fail or not. If I want to throw my life away, let me decide that. If I want to do those things that'll cause me to grow old and nothing passes over with me. If you're going to take that away from me, let me go into that with my eyes open. Well, just a moment with him can change your direction, your destiny, your whole life forever and ever and ever. Well, I don't mind telling you. Making it to this limb on the born again trail. Just about the time you think that it can't get any more exciting, he proves you wrong. Hallelujah. You remember what he said to me when he first pulled me in? Showed me the born again trail. He said, all that I've ever promised you from my word, you'll find it on this trail. And all the personal promises I ever gave you, you'll find the answers on this trail. And that was almost 3 years ago. And here I thought it was a three to six months adventure.
Hallelujah.
No. So let's pass in review just a little bit in addition to what we've already said. Hallelujah, Jesus. John 14:1. Now again, I'll remind you that we missed these chapters because we were looking at it through deity instead of Jesus' humanity. And then after we read a couple of verses here, we're going to jump on over to John 17 and take a level of foundation out of there to set you up to understand even more. So looking then in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Not big houses with gold two-by-fours and things like that. They may be in our future somewhere, you know, but that's not what he's talking about here. You believe in God, believe in me also, because in my Father's house is many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And get this. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither or where I'm going, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus made it very plain. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And no man can cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, in my Father's house is many rooms. For were not so, I'd have told you. Because in his glorified humanity, he ought to know, because he occupied one of those rooms. He was one of those rooms. In his humanity, in my Father's house is many rooms. I ought to know, because as his son, I occupy one of them. That I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you, that where I am, as his son, I go by way of the cross. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. And I go by way of the cross, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, that the room that I occupy in his house is a glorified Son of God. I'll receive you unto myself, at where I am in the Father. You may be also. Well, that's hard to understand on the level of deity. But Jesus was both humanity and deity. And you'll never occupy the place that he holds as deity. But you will occupy that room in his Father's house that he holds in his humanity. Because he said, "In my glory, I give unto you." And again, that's all the glory that he held in his humanity with the Father. In the glory of redemption and the finished work, he's given it all to us in the form of an inheritance. He's given it all to us. And he said, "Where I am, I want you to come and occupy." There are some sons and daughters of God in town. They know who they are. We're first learning to exercise our authority by loosening heaven on this city. Now we're going to find out the part we're going to play in it. Hallelujah. What do you think Jesus would do? Hey, that was a sticker, wouldn't it? What do you think he'd do if he came into this town? It's Christmas season. Come not into this world. He said to condemn the world, but the world by me might be saved. He that believeth not on me is condemned already. It's hard for me to conceive this Christ child, this man came into this world. Couldn't even get an inn. Born in the straw of a manger. What kind of triumphant entry into the world is this? He came into a world already condemned to open the door to let you out if you want out. He that believeth not on me is condemned already. You know, in dealing with a friend of mine, you know, and he just loves me because all I've ever done is just demonstrated Jesus. So he flew in special to spend about 6 hours with me. So I went through the Word with him. He tried to get me to say that he was okay. He spent hours trying to get me to say that. And I'd say, "Friend, I said, you know that I can't say that. I can't. But we believe in Jesus." I said, "I know. But he's the only. He's the way. He's the truth, the life." I said, "You know I can't say that." He said, "This is the great commission he gave us to go into the world, preach this gospel. Them that believe shall be saved. Them that believe not will be damned." I said, "He came into this world not to condemn it, but the world through him and only him might be saved. He but believeth not is condemned already." I said, "He is the only way to the Father." But he spent hours trying to get me to say it. I said, "You know that I cannot." I mean, what kind of God do we serve that he prizes our individuality above everything else? At the cost of millions in hell, he still cannot invade your will if you don't want him. He had to leave being the creator of everything that is. He had to leave this whole gospel in the hands of 120 men and women. I mean, it seems ridiculous being God that would be so limited to such a start, but it didn't start there. Here is the Savior of the whole world laying in a manger. His triumphant entry into Jerusalem when they waved the palm branches was on a donkey. This gospel had to be left in the hands of 120 men. Any planner, any government person, any engineer. I mean, if they're going to engineer the salvation of the world, and being God, he certainly should be able to come and put himself on display somehow. You know, pass to heaven, do something. Do something. Yet he limited this thing. I said, why? Because I'm becoming so amazed at finding out who he is. Why did you do that? Why everything that you do and the way you do it, it looks like you're doing it that is retarding the whole gospel. Why do you do it that way? Believe me. When Jesus cried out, if there be any other way, if there be any other way, sweat becometh great drops of blood as he prayed. If there's any other way to save mankind, let this pass from me. But you think that there's a billion equations went down. There was no other way to save you. He asked if there was, if it be possible. There wasn't. Started with a single man's spirit being alive. Just one. There's no other chance for humanity. He made all that he is available. But he has to go through you. If God was going to do anything against man's will, it would have been stopping Adam. God didn't create the devil as some great universal purging process that we had to go through this to prove our loyalty. Why, he may pull something again in the future. Something real weird like that. Create some race to fall. If he's like that, what's the point? But then he's made all that he is and has available to us. Thank God. I mean, then he offers, you know, said, you love me here. Wait till you see what you have with me for eternity. And he doesn't think it's such a high price for you to sell out. If he's going to stop anyone, it would have been Adam. Yet, he couldn't. And way, way, way in the eons of the future, anyone that serves him, they serve him because they love him. He's not going to get weird on you, a few millennials out there, and decide that a new purging needs to go through, create some new kind of devil to come and take his creation away again. He's not going to do it. He's the same, yesterday, today, and forever. His word remains the same. And when you believe it, it's impossible for him to do anything else but what he said. Don't you think he would like one of you to be able to see his glory so that he could put his tender loving kindness and mercies on display in case some hardened sinner wants to get born again? No, there was no other way. They left it with 120 men and women, including the apostles, Mary, the mother of his humanity, was in the upper room.
He leaves them with a new nature and the earnest of their inheritance. The one, the down payment in born again in heaven says you have all this mighty inheritance and it's all yours. And to make sure that you inherit all of it, even heaven, heaven has gave you an earnest of its sincerity to walk in power here, to inherit all that heaven is there. They had to leave 120 people. A new nature, an old body, and a precious Holy Spirit. So now I've got to leave the world in your hands. Are you up to it? The devil tracked down slaughtered apostles, sported them, marched on nails, dissected, made fun of, afforded entertainment in their deaths and sport. They couldn't put us out. He wants me. He's got me. Hallelujah. Well, here we've got a collection of the canon of the Scripture. May God saw to it that this come together. This has been posted for all eternity. Concerning us being lost and saved, this is the book. This is the map. This points the road. He said, in my Father's house is many rooms, I occupy one. And I'm going by way of the cross, so I can come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am in God as a son, you may be also. You'll never touch his deity. That you will be like him in his glorified humanity. How many of you is glad as an ambassador that God saved you and filled you and left you behind for a purpose that you get to stay here and point people to the cross, that you have the privilege of giving your whole life? How many feels good about this? I've let you know some things slip, and that happens when the devil wears you down and the cares of this world, etching out your living, especially keeping up with the Joneses, you know. This care and that care wears you down, wears you down till you start letting things slip. And I know because I've fallen into that pattern enough. But it's easy to lose sight and vision of why we're here and what's going down and what he's given to us. Well, in my Father's house is many, many places to occupy. I occupy one of them. And where I am, you can be. Because I'm going to pay the price. And I'm going to come and receive you unto myself. Well, let me clear up a foundation mystery here so that you can get on with your meditation. Let's go on over to the 17th chapter now. Hallelujah. Let's kick in the 20th verse this time. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through the apostles and those who followed him word. So right there in the 20th verse, way a couple of thousand years ago, Jesus prayed a prayer for you. Find out what it was so it can come to pass. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's me. And when they believe on me, when we believe in Jesus through their word, which we did, then the 21st verse took place. That they may believe on me, that they all may be one, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the 22nd verse, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. And when he gave it to us, it made it possible that they may be one, even as we are one. Well, how's that? Well, the 23rd verse, Jesus said, I in them, and the Father says, thou in me, I in them, thou in me, that they, all of us, may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and loves us with the same love he loved Jesus. Boy, that means a lot to a Waterhead baby. Don't you think? Backing up to the 22nd verse for just a moment. Now you're going to have to hang in close. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Well, when the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, he takes of his and shows it unto us. And he says, the glory thou hast given me, I've given unto them again. What is Arnold Schwarzenegger's glory? It's, you know, his glory is that body that he developed. What would be the computer genius's glory? His knowledge of computers. What was the glory Jesus gave us? He said, the glory you have given me, I have given unto them. And what he gave us was the finished redemption work. That he was born alive and died in our place. And then we got to partake of that glory the Father gave him, which was in the form of the first man to be born spiritually alive in 4,000 years. The Son of God. Well, what God gave him in his humanity, that glory he gave unto us, which is a born-again human spirit and a finished redemption work and all the glory that Jesus operated in with the Father, that he has given to us. Well, there's a whole world going to hell. How about let's start operating in it?
Glory. Hallelujah.
Well, we haven't understood this prayer very well because we always looked at it at the deity. He is one with the Father, and He wants us to be one with Him as He's one with the Father. And we said, yes, but Jesus is God, and He's one with the Father. How can we be one with them when they're... No, He wasn't talking about Jesus' deity. He's talking about the oneness that He has with His Father in His humanity, which is that spiritually alive spirit that was made alive after He died in my place. That He is one with the Father as His Son, and I'm one with Him in that new nature, which makes me one with the Father, with Jesus, in that born again humanity, in the new nature He has gave me that put me back into fellowship with my Father. I don't want to be God. Neither do I. I just want to operate in the glory He gave me. I've never heard such things. He said that they may be one. All of us, He prayed for us. All of humanity that would listen to what the apostles had to say. And the other 102 people or 108 people. He said that I'm praying for all of those. All of those that will believe on me through the preaching and the ministry of the apostles and then the 108 and the rest of the world had heard. He prayed for us that we might also be one as He's one with the Father. Well, to understand that one that He's talking about, let's take the pendulum to the opposite swing and found out how we became one in the fall of the first man, Adam. We became one with Him when we inherited His nature. So how is all of us going to become one with Jesus and the Father except by the reversal of that process and be baptized into the second Adam as one with the new nature as He in His humanity is one with the Father in that new nature. Romans, the 5th chapter. Hallelujah. Is anybody having a good time? Let's just go to the 17th verse. Verse 17 of Romans 5. For if how many man's offense? And we're one with the Father. All of us become one in Him. And that's by how many men? We became one in God. All of us by through how many men? Just one. How did we inherit Adam's nature? Was it through many offenses? No, through one man's offense, the whole world was baptized into His death nature. Yeah. Well, let's reverse that. For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more, they which received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Oh, Father, He said, I pray not for these 12 and the other 108 that believing on me now. He said, I pray for them, not just these, but all through down the history of ages to present time who are going to believe on me through their testimony, that they'll all be one in you, the Father, as I'm one in you. Through their baptism into my new nature that you gave me when the life that was in you. For as the Father had life within Himself, He gave to the Son to have life within Himself. And the Son gave to you to have life within yourself. We all became one in the Father through that new life that He gave us that made us one in Jesus. My glory I give unto them, He says. Yes, He did. And He gave me the earnest of heaven's sincerity, the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal that glory so that I can walk through this life in that prayer. Jesus, believe for me that I would believe in Him and receive His glory. I think that a lot of little squealing devils are running every direction right now to report to Satan that there's a bunch breaking through. They are breaking through. They're starting to understand. And I've understood, and I know it to be true also, that several prophecies have gone forward, that a new wave of resistance is going to come. Well, it's just like clockwork, isn't it? Why did Paul say that the devil came anyway? Why did Jesus say He came? Satan come immediately to remove the Word of God. Mark 4. Why did Paul say He came? Because of the abundance of my revelation there has been given me. Of course, another wave's going to come. Of course, the devil's going to have to stop us. Of course. But I got news for him. You can look him right in those fallen, squinty eyes that the light has went out in. Just like Jesus did, and tell him that you have no power over me whatsoever. You have no power over me. Just like Jesus says, I have the power, Pilate, to crucify you. He said, you wouldn't have any. Scared the living daylight. You wouldn't have any power lest it was given you from above. I got news for the devil. He may cause me to suffer some, but I can guarantee you it'll only be for righteousness' sake. It'll only be carrying this gospel. He's got no power over me. Lest that avenue where God wants you to go into trouble situations for people to hear the gospel, and you are going to be persecuted for it. Now the devil can have some power over, not over you in the sense of him being able to reign over you, but he'll send people against you because you really don't have power over people, but you have power over him. Now people may, they may cause me some persecution and things, and I can't rule over their life. But as far as one-on-one goes with the devil, sickness, disease, his personal control, all those things, he's got none.
Hallelujah.
He's got none. So you can look him right in the eye and say, you can't cause any kind of suffering on my part. And when it's persecution for righteousness' sake, get this straight, devil. I'm full of joy and I'm dancing on the inside. Get this straight. You're not my God. If there's anybody he wants to see saved, I don't care what it costs me.
Hallelujah.
So just back off. Well, I want that prayer to be answered in my life. That they may be one, baptized into his life, that life that he received from the Father. I and thee, thou and me, and them and us.